Welcome to the choir room. There's always room for you if you're a fan of Glee. Then you're a friend of me.
Well, hello there, lovebirds. Welcome back to Choir Room Radio. I am your velvet voice host, Amon Adwin, here bringing you all of the lovey-dovey stories that we can at the top of this hour. It is Valentine's Day 2021, and after the horrific year that is 2020, I'm sure we could all use a little lovin', and that's what we're here to bring you. So just sit back, relax, and even if you're single, it's going to be okay. Yes, all right. Welcome back to the Choir Room. My name is Amon. Of course, I am super excited to be rewatching episode 11, 12 of season 2? I forget. Whatever the Silly Love Songs episode number is, that's what we're rewatching today. Of course, I'm joined by Matt Liguori. How are you?
Oh, I'm great. A time of the year that we all are so looking forward to because we are all in such happy relationships and love is just in the air. Or, you know, we're just watching Glee because there's an excuse to watch some Glee episodes. Either way, whichever brings you here, we're excited to be here today with a special guest who I believe knows a whole lot about love.
Ha! I know something about love. Yes. We are joined by Chappelle once again. He was with us last for the Halloween episode, and we brought him back for the other holiday, Valentine's Day.
This is the only other one.
Yeah,
the only other holiday.
Mm-hmm. I'm the professional Valentine's Day guest. This is my wheelhouse. Halloween is fine, but I think this is really where I'm at home. So thank you for inviting me.
I think this is going to be a lot of fun. As anybody that, you know, checked out our Christmas podcasts knows, we had Matt Gagan on for, a 4-episode contract there. And here we have Chappelle for a 3-episode Valentine's Day contract, as we're going to get into silly love songs today. We're going to get into season 3's Heart next time. And then we're also going to get into Love, Love, Love from season 5 to close this one out. So we're going to have some fun talking about some of these lovey-dovey episodes, some of these couples that should they be together, should they not be, we'll determine that as we go. But, you know, also just kind of shoot the shit and talk about whatever. So Chappelle, how are you?
I'm good. I was up late last night watching TV, and I rewatched this episode, and then I watched some more TV, and then this morning I woke up and this episode was still on. I was like, what happened? I think I left my Netflix account up. So I've seen Silly Love Songs a lot in the last 24 hours. So I'm excited to talk about it.
Well, it sounded like you said that when we talked about this episode, this is one that you actually like kind of had more memories of than maybe some others.
Yeah, I don't know why this one stands out so much. Like, if you had asked me a couple days ago, you know, before I started rewatching it, you know, about this episode, I probably could have given you the rundown pretty clearly. I don't know where I was in life when this episode happened, but I've definitely seen it a bunch of times. I think maybe it was like on iTunes or something for free. And so it was just kind of one of those things that just kept coming up in the rotation on my iPod back in the day. I don't know. It's something about it, but it stood out. And even watching it back, it was hilarious. I actually really, really liked this episode. I don't know where y'all rank it, but it would be pretty high on my rankings. What about y'all?
So the first time through, Amon, do you remember that we had this episode at 0 slushies each?
I don't remember doing that. This was, what a blur. I mean, I guess season 2 was such a long time ago at this point, right? Oh my God, we're almost near a year of this podcast. It's kind of crazy. No, I don't remember that. But like, you know, looking at the episode again today, I can see why. I mean, I still enjoy it just as much now. So I'm not surprised by it. I just forgot that we did it.
Yeah. That's what we landed on, Chappelle. 0 slushies. We said it was top tier. Perfect.
Yeah, I trust y'all's judgment. I agree. I watched this episode, and the first rewatch that I've done on it in a while, I was cracking up. I didn't realize how funny this episode was. It doesn't have a lot of the icky moments that Glee sometimes has. And so there's a few, but even some of them were kind of comedic. So I can see exactly why you guys gave it 0 slushies. And hopefully that doesn't change. I don't know if you guys are done with the slushies altogether, but if you want to watch it this time and maybe change your mind, I'd be interested to know if that's happening.
Yeah, once we get to the end, what we've been doing with these rewatches is checking back in on that rating and seeing if we want to adjust it up or down or stay the same. So we definitely will get to that at the end. I'm curious to see how Amon feels about it, if he still feels it's perfect, and I'll let you guys know. Same on my end of things, and also get your thoughts, Chappelle. But I don't know. I feel like, you know, we did this for Christmas. I feel like we have to do something similar here. We don't need to go through each of us and like, oh, where are we at with love right now? But I am curious. I think the audience would be curious to know if you guys have any memorable Valentine's Day stories from any time in the past 20 blank years of our lives. Amon, I'll start with you. I feel like we might have already talked about this on the podcast, but we're back here for Valentine's Day, so it's pretty topical.
Valentine's Day. I think like the last real Valentine that I had, if people are gonna laugh when I say this because I just use the qualifier of real, was probably in fifth grade. That's probably like the most memorable experience that I had, only because I think we ended up breaking up maybe like 3 days later. It was a whole dramatic thing. So like I went and got her these 24 karat gold earring. Oh no, it was a necklace. And I got her like a chocolate rose and I think some other candy, and I put it in like this really cute bag. And the thing is, like, I forgot it at home. And so when we got to school and she was expecting, like, her shit, I was like, oh, my God. Like, I forgot it at home. So I had to, like, call my grandma. And my grandma actually came to the school and got it for me, like, right around lunchtime. And so everybody saw me give my, quote-unquote, girlfriend her Valentine's Day gift. And it was, like, a whole special thing because none of the other boys had, like, went as hard as I did. Because, I'm a gift giver. I like giving gifts. And then, like, 3 days later, we got into some kind of argument, and it was, like, a whole thing. And she, like, ran across the school courtyard, took off the necklace, and then threw it in my face. And it was a whole... And, like, that was real gold, bitch. Like, I might have been in fifth grade, but I spent my allowance money on that shit. That shit was, like, I don't know, like, $40, which is a lot for someone in fifth grade, okay? That's a lot. So... yeah, that's probably the most memorable thing. I think I also had like a really cute Valentine's Day my senior year of high school. I was really, really close with my theater teacher, who was also our director. And because I didn't have a Valentine, she was like, you want to be my Valentine? And I was like, yeah. And so like, I like, all throughout the day, I got like a whole bouquet of roses. And all throughout the day, every period, I would give one of her students a rose to give to her. It was like this whole really cool thing and everything. And she got me like a stuffed animal and candies. And we like had lunch together. It was nice. That was a nice Valentine's
Day. All right. Are you Amon Puckerman and this was Shelby Corcoran of Philly?
No, it wasn't like that at all. It was, you know, we were just really, really close. And I just really, really enjoyed her as a friend and a teacher at the time. And so we were just each other's Valentines for that day.
Amon out here singing some Hot for Teacher.
No, it wasn't younger like that days. At all. But yeah, I've yet to have a real Valentine. I'm still waiting for that day. I am so ready for it. Like, I want to spoil a bitch. That's what I want to do. I like spoiling people. I get it from my grandma who spoiled me. So now I feel like I have to pay it forward and spoil someone else for the rest of their life.
All right. Well, if anybody out there is listening, Amon is on Twitter at Amon Adwin. You can follow him on Twitch at twitch.tv/AmonAdwin and just slide into those DMs. Chappelle, anything stand out to you from your long history of dating? Of Valentine's Day, of anything you were willing to share with the class?
I mean, I can't share a lot.
For legal reasons or something?
What I mean by that is that I'm not often in a like relationship on Valentine's Day. Strategically, that just doesn't align with my pocketbooks.
Old people in January, don't you? That's crazy.
You get your Christmas gift and then you might take a break until, you know.
Wow, that's crazy.
I'm not happy St. Patrick's Day. You want to get back together?
Completely hypothetical. I'm not saying that's something I do. I'm just saying it would be a good strategic move to, you know, secure the bag around December, you know, for whatever holiday you might celebrate around that time. Then, you know, hold strong a little bit for a while and as long as you can. And then right around the end of January, you know, maybe take a break just for a while. Maybe go find yourself, And then around your birthday, if you're in Aries like myself, you know, maybe give her a call. But I, again, not my strategy, just something that I've heard floated out there.
Of course.
I guess my, it's really lame though. I think the only Valentine's Day memory I have specifically of just like dating someone on Valentine's Day was we went and saw the movie Valentine's Day. I guess the year it came out. So that was like, woo, a while ago too. Maybe 2010, 2011. I don't know. I think it was 2010. But
11 years ago.
Yeah, it was a long time. But I was in college. And we wanted to see the movie. We went to go see the movie. Got really, really drunk. Like really, really drunk. And I don't remember who drove me home because, but I remember getting dropped off at my house, and that's it. Then I woke up the next day, and then I had to send some apologies. So that's probably the best Valentine's Day memory I've had. My most recent, I guess, ex-girlfriend, she and I, before she was my girlfriend, I had gotten really drunk on Snapchat. Snapchat has these like stupid filters for the holidays. And it was like one that kind of had those little sweet tarts that you'll see in this episode, but it was like everywhere. And I was, again, drunk. I don't remember why, but I was drunk before Valentine's Day. And so I was trying to let her know on Snapchat that I was very excited about, you know, going out with her the next day. And I did not send that directly to her on Snapchat. I put it on my story and I went to sleep. And then I woke up the next morning and it was, oh dear God, what have I done? Because that's just not player, right? You don't go on Snapchat and just like start confessing your love for someone who is not even officially, you guys have seen this episode. So you just don't go confessing your love for someone who may or may not have those same feelings for you on Snapchat. So I woke up at like 6 o'clock in the morning and fixed it. It's kind of like my Twitter habits, you know, make the mistake at night, fix it before everybody else wakes up. So
you have Twitter?
Yeah. Follow at Amon Adwin on.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
So if anyone out there is looking for Chappelle on Twitter, DMs are probably also open, and we can make something work on the things as well.
They are closed. There were some shenanigans right last night. They're closed for repair. I'll let you guys know.
Well, then reach out to Amon or myself, and we'll do some vetting, and we'll pass along any great applications over to Chappelle.
Thank you. Thank you. Closed until after Valentine's Day for sure.
Did you guys, I'm assuming you did. I feel like this is a, you know, universal thing, at least as far as I know, have like the Valentine's Day cards in like elementary school. You got like the whole pack and give them out to the class.
Yeah, we did that. We like had like, you know, the lollipops with the little to and from things on there. We'd have like little Valentine's Day parties. I think we even had like a pizza party one year and everything. And yeah, we had lots of that.
Those
stuff.
Are the days. Like, yeah, truly, I would give anything to go back to that pizza party and hand out my Scooby-Doo Valentine's cards to
those little
bunch of people that I don't
2
even like.
2 liters of soda on the table. Like, I just, I miss being a kid sometimes.
Sometimes.
The simple things made you just so happy.
They did. I can, like, literally, this sounds ridiculous, but, like, I can remember my first, like, legit bite of pizza. It was at, like, an elementary school party, because, like, I think we had pizza, you know, at the house all the time, but I didn't, for some reason, I was, like, averse to it as a child, but at school, we had a pizza party, and I remember, like, my first bite into, like, a slice of pizza, and I was, like, I just remember that bite to this day.
That's insane.
Was it pepperoni?
No, I think it was just a slice of plain cheese pizza that, you know, you get for a Valentine's Day party or whatever it was. I don't know if it was Valentine's Day. If it was, that would be my favorite Valentine's Day memory. But
that's what you're passing off as your favorite Valentine's Day memory. Like me just like gave you like whole diary room entries.
I haven't gotten to it yet. Would you relax over there? I think I already told this story, but no, my only memory, same as you guys, was like from a long time ago. And I remember in sixth grade getting a teddy bear and a can of Axe, which I was fully kind of offended by. Because I was like, why am I getting Axe? What are you trying to tell me? And I don't think I smelled bad, but like, I guess it's possible, or she could have just been like, oh no, this is great. Like, you should like the smell. I don't know. I didn't love the gift, but that's my story.
It's like cologne for men. That's what she thought. Like, oh, it's like, you know, how guys.
Yeah, like people perfume. Always get colognes and stuff. Yeah.
It was Axe. Yeah. It was, yeah, I was like, I have three of these in the locker room.
I mean, we were kids. Like, they were telling, like, that kid, like, they marketed that shit for kids because no adults were buying Axe. Like, that was totally like, a teenager thing. You would see those commercials on fucking like Cartoon Network too, like Axe body spray. Like you'll get all the girls if you wear this stuff. And I'm like, oh my god, this is so.
And just tell me, like, I can literally like taste it right now. And I hate to put it that way, but like I feel like when you walked into like a locker room or whatever, and you could literally taste the Axe.
You can smell like the alcohol portion of it. Like it was more alcohol than it was fragrance. It was horrible. Yeah. I don't know how they. And they're still in business. Their soaps aren't bad though. Their soaps are not bad. The colognes are trash.
Yeah, if you're listening to us talk right now and you are using Axe body spray, please seek help. There's support groups out there. You can do better than this. If you need suggestions, please DM us. We will tell you what you should be using as opposed to this mess of a body spray. But that's. Matt, I wouldn't feel any kind of way about it. Like, again, you were kids. It's kind of, like I said, I feel like it's just like a cologne equivalent for, like, children. I don't know.
I guess. That's you know, my memory. I think I had gotten her an Islanders teddy bear because I knew she was also an Islander fan. And so, I don't know. I guess we had a teddy bear exchange because that's, you know, the cute thing to do. But then the Axe came along and I was like, interesting. Very, very interesting. We were, like, outside by the bus. It was, like, the start of the day. And the rest of the day, I was just questioning things. And then the rest of my, you know. A couple of years in middle school and high school was questioning things. But, you know, anyway. Silly
Did you ever use it?
I don't remember.
You probably should have.
You remember getting it, but you know.
I mean, like, that's what I'm saying, though. So the thing is that, like, we all used Axe, even though it was awful. Like, for at least a small period of time. Like, everybody used it at some point. So I know I had other Axe body sprays at some point, you know, while I was that age. I don't remember if I put this one into the rotation. Maybe I have no idea, but. Luckily, you know, it doesn't matter.
That's horrible. She gives you the Axe spray and she's kind of like, let's just say you did smell, right? And she's like, here, I got this for you. Don't you want to try it on? You're like, no, I got some at home. She's like, yeah, but don't you want to try it on like today? It's like, no.
I mean, it's totally like, possible. No. I really don't think that was the case.
And then takes it and then luckily, sprays it in her face.
luckily and unluckily for like my entire middle school, high school, like tenure, there was like one kid that was like with us all the way along who smelled really, really bad. And nobody ever quite knew if there was like a medical reason behind it or if it was just like, I don't know, because I have no idea if that's like even a thing. But just genuinely every day it smelled like so bad if you were in the classroom with him, around him. So, I mean, nothing that I could have had going could have been anywhere near as bad as that, even if it was a me issue. But I don't know. I didn't see her getting him Axe body spray. I don't know. Anyway, so glad we did that. Glad we went there.
It was your idea.
Yeah. Okay, let's talk about Glee. Let's talk about silly love songs and some of these other relationships and some of these other gifts that were given across some of the couples here. We're following a couple of different couples in this episode. How many times can I say couple? Chappelle, which storyline in this, we'll get to all of them, which couple that we talked about or that we watched in this episode were you most interested in their love story?
I guess the most compelling one has to be, you know, Blaine and Kurt, right? Because this was the one relationship of all of them that's intact right now that actually like turns into a real storyline. No offense to Tina and Artie, but you know, like Blaine and Kurt, it becomes like one of the flagship relationships of the show. And this is the beginning of that, you know, even though, you know, they're not on the same page right now, but it was seeds of, you know, what's to come. So I think that was my favorite thing to watch. It was kind of jarring though. Like I said, I haven't watched this episode in a while. I remember it vividly, but I guess I hadn't realized that this was a time where everything was so shuffled up. So you had like Sam and Quinn and then like single Rachel and single-ish Finn, depending on what day, who he's kissing in the hallway. Like, you know, so it was interesting to see that Santana's alone and then Puck's trying to move, you know, into a different relationship over here. So it was cool to see it all shuffled up and not in like the standard relationships that, you know, that we remember them for.
Yeah, this would have been a prime opportunity for Pezberry, which is Santana and Rachel, to have, you know, spent some time together. But this is before Santana even got there with Brittany, so maybe not yet. But yeah, no, for sure, Kurt and Blaine stands out from this episode as, you know, it's really before anything gets serious at all with them. It's truly like the episode that shows you that some spark could be there. But Blaine is too much of an idiot to realize that Kurt's right in front of him. He'd rather, you know, go chase down Mr. Gatman and, you know, sing to him there, make a fool out of himself. Amon, on this, you know, 100th time that you're now watching this episode, which would you say caught your attention the most? Kurt and Blaine as well? Probably not. That's not your answer.
No, I was going to, I think that's the one that I related to the most. I mean, who hasn't like had a crush on somebody that was too busy crushing on somebody else, right? Like, I feel like that's something that most people go through. And I felt like Kurt handled himself so well in this episode, because I don't know if I would have had the balls at the end of all of that to be like, I thought you were talking about me when you said that you were crushing on somebody and went to sing a song to them. I would have just like been grin and bear it the entire time. Like, I would have been supportive. I would have gone to the gap with them. I would have been in the little number or whatever. But at the end of all of that, I don't know if I would have walked up to Blaine and told him that. So I think that Kurt really, I think that he really matured a lot in this episode, I guess.
Yeah, you obviously, like, you're rooting for Kurt when he goes over to Dalton. You want him to find happiness again. You want him to find, you know, if there is a love connection here, you want it to work out. So when you get that scene at, like, the beginning-ish of the episode, and they're talking about, you know, Valentine's Day, and Kurt doesn't love the day, but Blaine really thinks it's great, and all the hearts and the chocolate and everything all around. And he's like, you know, I really like this guy. I think I'm going to ask him out. And it's like, oh, look at the sappy beginning of, like, their love story. And then he's like, no, so, like, I'm talking about this other guy. And, you know, he's gonna ask like the Warblers and everything to come sing with them. Like, the look on Kurt's face all throughout that is just like so heartbreaking, as he, you know, it sinks in deeper and deeper that Blaine is not talking about him, and that, you know, he wants Kurt and all of the Warblers to come with him to sing to this guy at the Gap. Who the fuck is this guy at the Gap? Jeremiah? Like, who is Jeremiah?
Apparently a grown ass man, because when Blaine's like serenading him at his job where he probably pays his bills, his damn rent at, this 16-year-old kid is like, brought all his 16-year-old friends to come sing a love song to him. He's like, I can't date you because one, you're a child and I'm a grown ass man. So yeah, it was cringy because you see the train wreck happening in slow motion, right? We are slowly, if you've never seen this episode before, you're probably slowly realizing, oh, he's not talking about Kurt at all. But then even find out even more that, oh, and it's also an adult. It's like, ooh, Blaine, what did you think was going to come from this? What did you think Jeremiah was going to say to his grown ass at work to this child?
Do we think that Blaine just wasn't aware of how old Jeremiah is? Like,
that's insane. Like, I mean, when you're that age, like at this age, like, I have no idea how old Chappelle is. I think I know how old Amon is. I don't know how old most of my friends are, because we're all around the same age. What's the matter, the exact number? But when you're that age, like, you're all relatively around this, like, you know, whether it's determined by grade that you're in or whatever, you know how old this person is. Like, you should.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, like, maybe not. I mean, maybe he's like 19, you know?
Yeah.
Because I can understand that. Because, like, although, is that even illegal in Ohio? Because, like, I know for some states, like, if you just because you're over 18 doesn't mean you're not allowed to date someone who's 16. Even though you're technically an adult, it's still not, like, it's still legal if it's, like, within a certain age range. I don't know. We talk about the legality of Ohio shit all the time on this podcast, and we have yet to actually look it up, like, 90% of the time. So it's purely conjecture on my end, but I'm just assuming that he was Jeremiah's probably 19, 20 at the very oldest. And I just want to know, like, what their history is before this, because they said that they got coffee twice. So what exactly was the context of those coffee dates, and what was Blaine supposed to take away from those coffee dates that he was like, oh my God, I'm madly in love with this guy. Where did they meet? How did this happen? Where did you find this man?
That's a good question.
Is he in school? Does he go to college? Like, what's going on?
Yeah. Because they went on two, right? And so this guy is aware that Blaine is a child. And so he's like, I don't want to take this to a creepy place, but it seemed like he was
on the Glee Wikia, it says age is over 18.
But see, the only other thing is that I think you can, like, give Mr. Jeremiah credit for here is it sounds like he kind of got, like, outed by this performance, right? That, like, nobody at work knew that he was gay.
Mm-hmm. Yo, who is writing this Wikia page on the weaknesses for a section that says his sexual orientation? I can't.
That's his downfall.
For who, Jeremiah?
For Jeremiah.
They don't miss a thing. They really don't.
That's funny. Yeah, it does. He went through a lot. I know we just jumped right to, like, what, the peak of the episode. But, I mean, he went through a whole lot in a short amount of time. Like, again, these kids from some school just showed up in uniform and started serenading him and dancing. right. And the song is aggressive. Like, it's not like thinking my funny Valentine. He was belting this song like with all the fanfare.
I intend to do things to you when we're alone. Like, it's he's literally narrating.
Just casually,
all the
everybody
that he wants
in the mall, like, this is just insane. Every time you watch it, just, I mean, it's a great performance. It is high up there on my list of Blaine and the Warblers performing together. He sounds great on it. It's a lot of fun. But like, when you look around at the, you know, realistic, like jump in like Blue Skidoo into that world and look around, like, what is happening here? Why is this, like, who brought all these people in these blue and red jackets? Like, they might know that Dalton exists, but like, who asked them to perform here? This wasn't in the agenda for the day. Obviously the manager hated it because she ends up firing this guy out,
which
of, like,
I think is so unfair. He did not deserve to be fired for that. He cannot control, you know, a big group of students just coming in and singing. And for all, I mean, Jeremiah could have played that off easily. Like, that could have just been a singing gram. You know what I mean? Like, it didn't have to be from Blaine. It could have just been from Blaine from someone else. You know what I mean? He didn't have to, like, I feel like him acting so uncomfortably, which I get it because it's Blaine that's doing it. I feel like that was the main signifier for, like, him being gay, not his hair, like Kurt was going to say later on. Like, he should have just been like, yeah, this is great. Like, who sent this to me? Like, that's what I would have did.
So, am I being punked? This was really great, you guys. Thanks. Thanks, you guys. That was wild. Back to work.
And he did not deserve to get fired for that. Like, his manager was on some bullshit for that. Like, he didn't plan that. Like, come on.
And it's such a good performance, though. Like, given the context of how, like, the Warblers did not want to do it. They were, like, in such shock and horror at the idea of performing outside of, you know, that Warblers, like, oh, the Warblers haven't performed at an informal setting since 1927. It's like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, what is happening here? Kurt has to, like, stand up and defend, you know, Blaine and his choice, being like, well, the New Directions once sang in a mattress commercial. And we sang,
yeah, he's like,
all,
you are not going to ruin this for me. He's going to sing to me. He's going to sing to me wherever he fucking wants to sing to me.
I have a feeling that was Kurt's probably first time in the Gap. He just seems like he shops at, like, such, like, better places or, like, more high. No offense to people who go to the Gap. I like the Gap. But, you know, Kurt's fashionable. I think this was like, oh, the Gap. Shit, what is that? Show me.
No,
take
yeah,
me
there was definitely some contempt when he was like, why the Gap? And it wasn't because, like, he was interested. He was just like, why are we going to the Gap?
Why are,
like,
we going to the Gap?
The line shouldn't have been why the Gap. It should have been like, what's the Gap?
Yes. Yeah. Because that would have, I mean, at the very minimum, Banana Republic for Kurt. Very minimum. Like, very minimum.
I just want more Jeremiah backstory. That's like my main takeaway from this.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, are we doing a Jeremiah character study? Are we adding that one to the list?
I will totally
do
that.
We can dive deep. Oh. You know, honestly, no, the fan fiction I'm sure exists when we get to more of those.
Oh, I'm sure there's plenty. Although I don't know how appropriate those would be now that we know that he's not a...
he's 25
he's
years old.
Age, yeah. He's like fucking 30.
I guess that's
apparently.
Fair. Well, we'll just follow them to the coffee shop and see how things go from there. You know. If things get too wrong, or maybe you'll look up the age restrictions and find out that Jeremiah was lying. So who's to know? But later on, I mean, let's just kind of go through the whole thing here since we're talking about it all. They're going to, you know, go to the coffee shop again later on. And Blaine is like all of a sudden hates Valentine's Day. And Kurt's going to like come up to him and be like, so like, was I crazy to think that that possibly could have been for me? And Blaine being, you know, a total idiot is like, oh, shit, I didn't even realize. Cool. So, yeah.
Awkward.
It is like an interesting way to end, right? Because, like, I mean, I don't necessarily blame Blaine for this. I don't think that he should call himself an idiot. Like, he was all over Jeremiah. He's probably been thinking about Jeremiah for, like, I mean, it's probably longer than we've even gotten a chance to really even know him this far in season two. So, yeah, like, I mean, it's kind of hard to notice when someone else is, like, barking up your tree when you're too busy barking up somebody else's. But it is like a bit of an inconclusive ending, which I kind of enjoy because it does leave room for more growth between the two of them, because he's like, I'm an idiot, but I mean, I might, like, you know, pretend like I know what I'm doing, but I really don't. And I'm really not good at romance. I really don't know what I'm doing. So let's just, you know, go from there. And then Kurt's like, it's like when Harry met Sally, which I've still yet to see to this day. So I really don't know what he means by that.
Yeah, I was like, I have no idea what's happening there.
I know what's
like, what is that supposed to mean? Like, what's the comparison here? Like, they started off as friends, and then they became, like, what's the... Because Blaine's like, don't they get together in the end? So, like, what is... I don't know. I don't get it. I guess I should have watched the movie or read the synopsis.
No. It's pretty straightforward to what you're thinking. Like, Harry is, like, dating Sally's homegirl or something. And then at some point, I think... Harry says something to her like, I think you're attractive. Not like making a move at her, but she like accused him of like, oh, whoa, don't be hitting on me in front of like my homegirl. And so they like never really connect on that level. It's just their mutual attraction is there. And then I think they start to like interact, you know, amongst each other as like friends, right? So every time they would link up, it would be like, oh, we're attracted to each other, but we're friends. And I think eventually it like dovetails into them getting married and, you know, kids mm-hmm. and all that good stuff. So I think that's what they were saying is that like, even though we both can acknowledge that there might be a mutual attraction here, we're not there to just start like hop in a relationship. You obviously gotcha. Were in love with this grown ass man. And I obviously have feelings for you that you don't have for me. So, I mean, let's just be friends and see what happens. And I think in Kurt's mind, he's hoping, he said it, in this situation, I'm Sally. So hopefully you'll wake up and realize that I'm the prize. Mm-hmm. So I think that's what was going for.
That and, makes sense.
I mean, hey, not to spoil anybody, but Blaine's going to wake up and realize that Kurt's the prize. So, more of that to come. Once we get to the very next episode that we're going to talk about here, we'll see how they are doing in an entire season ahead of where we are now. I definitely think it's worthwhile to, you know, focus in on them for this episode, especially in like the long-term arc of their relationship, because this is before, you know, it's like right in the middle, like after they've already met, they've been spending some time together, but it's right before we're actually going to get them solidified as a, you know, a couple in the Glee universe. So, you know, more on them maybe throughout here, but let's swing back around to the top and we could just start back at the beginning. We have Puck and Lauren here, following the Pisces developments here in this episode. And of course, we're also going to be following Finn and how he's deciding to spend his Valentine's Day by trying to win back the affection of Quinn Fabray, who's also in a relationship. What an episode we have here. And when we get to the shoe star of it all later, I'm very curious to see where people go with this. But Chappelle, fond memories of Lauren Zeisses, I hope?
Of course. She's great, especially in this episode. I mean, she does it all in this episode, right? She's strong and she's standing by, you know, the idea that like, Puck, just because you have now decided to fetishize my weight does not mean that I have to go out with you. And also, even if it wasn't about that, I would like for you to make a gesture that shows that, you know, I should be going out with you. I think Puck is used to the women. And when I say women, I really do mean women in Ohio, because they're grown as hell too, falling over him. And it was like refreshing to see Lauren in a situation where she's like, yeah, no, I'm good on that, unless you want to actually try. And so, yeah. Zeisses, big fan. I don't know how much of a fan I am of them together. I think in this moment, I was kind of rooting for them just because I wanted them all to kind of have like a love interest in this episode, or at least some type of prospects. So yeah, I'm pro Zeisses. I don't know how I feel about Pisces.
Yeah, the fun part about these two, personally, is just the fact that like she treats him like, you know, she's playing with a cat toy. Like she sees the target in sight. She knows it's attainable because obviously he wants her back. But the fact that she spends so much time like toying with him, and you know, he's not going anywhere. He's very much into her. He's making it very clear. And although his methods of trying to get her and to try to win her over by being like, oh, but I know that you're big and that's what I like about you, and she's like, okay, what are you talking about? So that does kind of like, you know, like turn her away from wanting this in the first place. But I mean, going all the way back to like when they first met and she first came to the New Directions, she was drawn into him. She thought he was hot and she wanted to get some of that. So they did. We saw they had like the 7 minutes in heaven that apparently only lasted for 3 minutes. And she's like, you're really not even good at this, which totally, you know, bruised his ego and is exactly what we needed to see somebody say to and treat Puck like here after seeing, you know, kind of how he's been, or just the character that we got to know him as so far. But Iman, any takeaways from this storyline for the second time through here?
I think I just like the fact that they are really making this more about Puck's journey of how, trying to figure out how, like, what it is about Lauren that he likes, because we do start off with him making it about her body, and I think that's because that's the biggest, and not trying to, no pun intended, I think that's like the biggest part of like getting like setting up this relationship is like, oh my goodness, let's talk about the disparity in between the size of these two people, right? But the one thing that I enjoy about this is that they never really make Lauren have to be the one to combat that. They make it very clear that Lauren is the one that's fine. Like, Lauren knows who she is. She's fine with that shit. It's Puck that keeps bringing up her size. Like, she hardly ever mentions it. Hardly. I think maybe one line in this entire episode, she's like, I don't think you're ready for this jelly. And even then, that's, like, very benign. You know what I mean? So I always, like, really enjoyed the fact that it was Puck that had to figure out not, like, how to not fuck up his words and, like, say the right thing. He ends up failing horribly in the beginning with the song choice. That was a doozy. Like, what the hell were you thinking? But he does ultimately do a lot of, well, I don't know if, I won't say that he's done a lot of work because it's only one episode, but he does ultimately understand towards the end of the episode that it doesn't really have anything to do with her curves. He just likes the way that she makes him feel. Like, she doesn't take shit. She is way more nonchalant than he could ever even hope to be. And she's just not like any of the other girls that he's ever dated or fooled around with. And I don't even think that you can really attribute a lot of that to her size. I'm sure you can attribute some of it to her size because she's probably been through a lot and has had to, you know, overcome, you know, whatever the story is there. But I just like that the fact that the onus was, like, more on Puck than it was on Lauren. And Lauren had no freaking reservations about standing up his reservation. Like,
oh, we were supposed reservations to, for breadsticks?
We were supposed to be at breadsticks? Oh, sorry. I forgot. So, yeah. Like, I enjoy this dynamic. This is a really good episode. It's a good episode for her.
Yeah. I don't know, you know, I'm sure we've talked about it plenty at this point, but the decision to sing Fat Bottom Girls there, as much as it is very pleasing to my ears, I love that song. Maybe it's a guilty pleasure. Maybe it's just me being honest with everybody, how much I like it, whatever. It sounds really, really, like, good.
It's just like, I mean, yeah, it sounds great, but it's just like, why are you... So what you're saying with this song is you're the prize, like, or I'm the prize rather, and you should feel lucky that I like big girls because not a lot of people like big girls. So you should just go ahead and take whatever scraps you can get. Like, that's what you're saying here. Like, mm-hmm. That's kind of like the subtext that I get from when Lauren says you make me feel like crap. It wasn't really anything to do with her size. It was like, you're saying that I have to say yes to you because what other options am I going to get? It's like, bitch, I saved you from that porta potty and you were nasty and dirty and I still kiss you like 5 minutes later. Like, get out of here, boy.
Chappelle, do you think she took her glasses off? I mean, I for some reason, I noticed that more this time. She like takes her glasses off mid-performance. I was like, is she either embarrassed? Is she like blushing? Is she just taking her glasses off in the sense of like, I don't want to watch this and not having my glasses on will make it easier?
Yeah, let me watch this on blurry mode so that it doesn't sting
really
as hard.
I felt like that was like my strongest contender as to why she was taking her glasses off.
No, I think she was embarrassed because I think she was torn, right, between these two emotions of this was the first time anybody's ever sang a love song to her. So just the idea that this guy who is like very popular in the school, very like sought after amongst the other girls, this guy is singing to her. So she's like, wow, this is a first. But it's also a song that says like, you know, I got left alone with Big Fat Fanny. Am I Big Fat Fanny now to you? Is that who the hell you think I am? Is Big Fat Fanny? So a part of her is kind of like embarrassed for two reasons, right? Like I'm in the spotlight, but not in the best way. I kind of agree with her. I noticed that she took off her glasses too, but I felt like it was probably because it was like maybe fogging up from her like getting it super embarrassed. Heavy breathing or something.
Getting heated.
Yeah.
Oh man, but like the whole club is so into this performance, and I think that's what even like makes it more fun to me, even though it's like you feel for Lauren here, but like all the guys in the club, like Rachel, Quinn, like everybody's out of their chairs like dancing along to Fat Bottom Girls, and like nobody is thinking for a second here that like Lauren might not be enjoying it, so they're all just throwing a party to the side. Obviously not everybody. Santana, we'll get to her in a second, but I don't know, that's just not even in a second. Yeah, Santana obviously is a big highlight of you know, I love the way that this episode connects the two different things happening at McKinley. We have the Puck and Lauren thing, and we have the Finn and Quinn thing slash Rachel. And we have Santana like kind of squarely in the middle of the two different things because she's involved in both. As far as the side of Puck and Lauren's storyline goes, she is still somewhat feeling, you know, not ownership, but like, you know, claim dibs on Puck as her guy. And now that he's out here like singing to Lauren, she's very unhappy, very annoyed that he would be going for Lauren, not me. Like, I'm like the hottest piece of whatever at this school. Like, no, thank you. So, yeah, she's not happy. And we're going to get to a very fun scene between Lauren and Santana.
Yeah, no, Santana is really fun in this episode. But yeah, I'm just Team Lauren here. Team Lauren all the way. Make these fucking men pay for what they want. Like, woo me. like she made me want to woo her. Like, and I'm, you know, gay. So like, clearly.
It was fascinating to watch Puck kind of deal with this in his mind too, because I don't know. He just is like, it's like he had never seen her before until she rescued him. Like, now all of a sudden he's like, oh my God, do I like bigger girls now? Like, what do you call her? A whole lot of woman or something like that? It's like, Puck, yeah. You walk around the school, she's not the only whole lot of woman, quote unquote, you know, girl around here. It's just like, was it just like, I guess he was trying to equate that feeling of her saving him to her body. And it's not the same, right? Because she's existed this whole time.
Yeah.
Like I said, there are probably other girls around the school who are big as well. And he didn't feel this attraction. She does this thing for him. And he's like, oh, I'm attracted to you. It must be because of your body.
Exactly. And exactly. That's exactly. That's the thing. And it's like, you like Lauren. Can we leave it at that? That's like when people are like, that's like when people, I used to think that people were being so freaking like, you know, artsy fartsy new age romantic when they would say shit like, I'm attracted to the person, I'm attracted to energies, I'm attracted to auras. I'm like, shut the fuck up, go read your damn, like, go play with your chemistry set somewhere. But no, like, I get that now. Like, I get what you mean. Like, you are attracted to what someone is bringing to the table, and what Lauren brings to the table, you're attracted to, and that's fine. You know what I mean? Like, you don't have to, like, he's doing so much. And, you know, I mean, granted, like, he's what? He's 16, 17 years old. Like, he's only really been with the Cheerios before. He has a very limited pool of experience, right? So, of course, when something new comes along, he's going to be, like, trying to, you know, overanalyze it and everything. But, yeah, I mean, just take this as a learning lesson for what it is, Puck. Like, you can like more than one type of girl. You don't have to confine yourself to dating Cheerios because society says you're supposed to date the Cheerios, you know? Or, you know, hooking up with the hot waitress at Breadsticks, who's married.
Chappelle, I just want to know from your perspective. So imagine, you know, for a second, you're living in Ohio. You are enrolled at William McKinley High School. You're walking down the hallway and you probably just, you know, heard the Glee kids singing off in the distance of some PYT. We'll get to it. And then you approach this one hallway where you hear, I'm from a part of town called Lima Heights Adjacent. You know where that is, Poppin' Fresh? It's on the wrong side of the tracks. And next thing you know, you see Lauren Zeissies throwing Santana Lopez into a locker. What do you do?
As a student?
World as star.
As a student, you just watch and hype it up. But, you know, I wonder what the teachers kind of let this go on for a very long time before Beast shows up, right? Coach Beast shows up, mm-hmm. and she's like, wait a minute. Hold on. Yeah. But this is after Santana has already been dragged and like dog walked down the hall. It was crazy. This episode is really good. Even the fight, like Santana's smaller than Lauren, but she wasn't backing down. She got her ass whooped, no, but make no mistake. Wasn't. She was biting and like she was swinging. And even Coach Beast had to hold her back, you know? So mm-hmm. I enjoyed the fight. I don't know. Look, Santana says she from them places where things go down. So she not against it. She's ready. She bought that life. And Lauren did threaten to snatch the weave out her head. So that was it was crazy. I don't know. I feel like the other students should have been recording. This was a time where you could have been recording. I would have recorded it.
Look, it's not as great of a moment. Okay, that's probably not the best way to say it, because I'm trying to say that, like, the Quinn and Santana fight is on a whole other level, but this is still very close to it. Just the whole setup to it, everything from start to finish. Hello, Lauren, you are a beautiful person. Now, get out of my way before I end you. And obviously, it goes into what it goes into. Santana then walking away, not even feeling, you know, she's been thrown into a locker, pushed all around the hallway, like, up and down, left and right, and she still walks away, you know, being carried away by Coach Beast, like, over his shoulder. And that's how we do it in Lima Heights. And it's like, she has got the energy. She could go for round two and three, even if it ended the same way. So, props
to her. How we do it in Lima Heights. Do what, sis?
And Puck, Lima Heights adjacent, okay? Not quite Lima Heights, but down the street.
Puck is not even offended by Puck is not even affected by any of this. He's going to slide right in afterwards and ask again if they can go on the date.
Yeah, he's totally enamored at this point. Like, it's like, you didn't watch Santana get her ass beat. It's like, anybody that can take on Santana, it's like, look, I want some of that. Not Santana calling her poppin' fresh. Like, she's so wild. She is
that
so
was crazy.
Wild.
Like, and then when the two of these, you know, these two lovebirds are going to end up going, you know, Puck is going to officially ask her out to Breadsticks with the ring pop, getting down on one knee, just as you would expect. And when it's time for the date, who's Michelle? Michelle is in the picture here, going to spend some time with Puck while Lauren is not here.
And now she definitely looks like, I mean, Blaine couldn't go out with freaking Jeremiah. Puck should not be kissing Michelle, because she definitely looks like she is in college, or, I mean, she's married already. She has a husband. Like, she's definitely overage. But then again, Puck, you know, is already out here screwing moms with pools. So
yeah, that's what Chappelle was getting at, right?
the double standard is striking.
Yeah, Glee does a really good job of addressing a lot of, like, important things, and then just completely zooming past pedophilia when it comes to, like, grown women with these these young children, or, like, you know, like, they make it like Sandy Ryerson is painted as, like, creepy because he is creepy, but then this Michelle lady is, like, married and, like, kissing all over Puck, and it's just like, oh, that Puck kissing married women, like, it's normal. But then Jeremiah's like, oh, I'm 20 and you're 17, I can't be around you, you know. So it's very interesting when it's from the, like, a power structure that's like the woman is the aggressor, or like the older person in this, because it should be equally as disgusting. Because when I
and that other waitress, like, should have said something. That other waitress definitely should have said something, because she's seen those kids before. She knows they be coming up in here. Puck has, like, dined and dashed on that hoe for, like, 10 years. Like, you know how old he is.
Exactly.
Yeah. Maybe, like, this is Glee's, like, one attempt at, like, roping in, like, young straight men that are watching Glee.
Nah, I don't think so. I think if you're a straight guy that was not going to be watching Glee, you're still not going to be watching Glee. Ryder is not the one, nor is Puck the one to... to pull you into the Glee fandom. If anything, it'll be the girls.
Yeah, when I was younger, it never occurred to me that these, like, from a like perspective of like younger guy, I was like, I never was watching this Puck thing going, ew, like, he's like kissing a married woman. I'm like, oh, that's pretty cool. Now, as in my adult age, I can look at this and be like, this is disgusting. Like, why are you doing this? But yeah, from someone of like Puck's perspective, you're like, yeah, it's pretty cool. This guy gets to make out with the hot lady at the restaurant that he goes to. Like, look at that. It's just so problematic looking back at it. And in the moment, maybe they probably, like, you know, it was a different time. We talk about this all the time with things aging and not aging well. I don't think that really ages well, but I think that is probably a good point, that it's not as harmful to look at from that age in that moment when you are that age as well. And we definitely should probably keep the conversation going of, like, why that is completely incorrect and it should be harmful all the time.
Mm-hmm. They end up, you know, as far as Puck and Lauren goes, they end up being just fine by the end of things here. He's a little annoyed that he got stood up, but she is going to totally play it off. Like, you know, I just didn't even realize. And he continues, you know, making weird assumptions about her. I'm sure you've been treated poorly before. She's like, why would you think that? Like, I can stand up for myself. I don't know what you're trying to do here. Saving the day. There's nothing to save. It's like, you like me? Do you not? Like, are we going to do this? Whatever. So they end up agreeing that they're going to be on for Valentine's Day, but like only as friends. They're going to take it slow, which is understandable, especially for Lauren, that like Puck is like speeding on into this with like, again, all these assumptions, all of these like grand gestures to like he really wants this. It's like, you got to slow this down a little bit. We are, you know, even for the fact that like both of them obviously have feelings for each other in one way or another, it's like, relax. So that's Lauren,
you know. Oh, question. Mm-hmm. Have y'all ever been stood up?
No, but I haven't really put myself in the position to
be. Yes, I have been stood up before.
What was that like?
Yeah, it sucked. It wasn't like a standing up in like, because it wasn't like a real date. Like, I wasn't going out anywhere. It was kind of like a situation where we were supposed to hang out for the day. And then it was just like, actually, no. And all the excuses that kept coming were bullshit. And I could tell that they were bullshit because I might be young, but I'm not dumb. So yeah, it was kind of, that really sucked. Which is why I pledged from then on. I was like, well, I swore off love like 3,000 times after that. But like the main thing that I was like after that experience, I was like, I will never, ever, ever do that to someone. Ever. Ever. So pain is definitely a good teacher. That's for sure.
I've never had a no call, no show type situation where, you know, like I've been like somebody changed the plans on me at the last minute, which is one thing. But I did. I've never had like a no call, no show kind of like where Puck was just sitting at the breadsticks waiting on her until he just decided to not wait anymore. But I did have a. This must have been, I guess, 2020 was a long year. So this was 2019, I guess. And I was going to this bar that I go to all the time, but I was going with this woman who I just met. And we were supposed to meet there at like 7, I don't know. And I go there all the time. So I don't have it like, you know, it's normal for me just to be sitting there, you know, talking to people because that's my bar. But she probably didn't show up till like almost 8:15. And, like people kept asking me like, weren't you supposed to be meeting somebody here? Or is that other? And it was awkward feeling of all time.
Not them asking. No.
Yeah, like what are you waiting on? Like, cause I'm just not a like go sit at a bar alone type person. Like I'm there with my friends or something. But this time I was by myself. So people kept like, oh, what are you doing here? You know, and one of my former coworkers walks in, and so I was very happy to talk to her. I was like, oh yeah, how's everything been going? Da, da, da. And she's like, are you being stood up? What's happening here? Do you want me to stay here with you? I felt so bad. I was like, go away, the pity. My face started getting all hot. I was like, what's happening? She's like, if she doesn't show up, she's horrible. And I was like, nobody wants to hear that. I just want her to walk through the door like so I can stop being awkward. Like, it was horrible. So Puck sucks sometimes, but I don't wish that feeling on anybody. It sucks.
No, it sucks. It sucks.
No. Oh. What a story.
I guess that wasn't
Valentine's Day because I would have hoped that you would have shared that one if it was a Valentine's Day story earlier.
I would never go out on a date with someone who I'm not dating on Valentine's Day. Like, you don't want to give somebody the wrong impressions. Valentine's Day is the perfect time to go to a bar by yourself because that's where you find all the other people who are single or at least lonely enough to where they talk to you. And so
yeah. Is this where I'm supposed to say, "Hey, remember bars?"
Oh, yeah, that was a thing. Wow, it's been a while.
Whew, it's been a minute.
Yeah.
Anyway, the other basically main storyline going on in this episode, let's get into it. Finn and Quinn / Sam / Rachel / Santana, the love, you know, mess that goes on for the first essentially two seasons, you know, a little bit in season three as well. Finn is talking about how he's all, you know, everybody's all over him after this big football win in the previous episode.
Oh, please.
He's got, you know, candy hearts from everybody. He's got a whole bucket in his locker. Becky's out here, you know, looking for tongue. When we get to the booth, he does have his eyes set on somebody though. Rachel, you know, coming off some heartbreak with that because she was making out with Puck. So, you know, he feels betrayed by her. So they're not on right now. And he is going to lock in on Quinn and say, you know, I just need to pry her away from Sam. So he is also going to put together this plan of making a kissing booth because the Glee Club is, of course, always in need of more money. So he thinks that since he's now like the number one, like top bachelor in the school. Everybody's looking to get his attention. He's going to put a kissing booth up, $1 a smooch to benefit the Glee Club. And this is where, you know, Santana's tie-in starts to come in. She starts to insult Finn. She's like, well, I've been there and it's not worth $1. And then, you know, she's going to end up all upset for the rest of the episode because now everybody's coming down on her because, you know, you can dish it, but you can't take it, Santana. You know, we can talk about her in a second. But Finn and Quinn, Chappelle, this storyline here in this episode is quite a ride.
Yeah, this was a lot. I did enjoy Finn going full Rachel in front of the Glee Club. You know how Rachel just kind of grandstands and tells everyone what they're going to do and why she's going to be the lead of the performance and how this is going to propel her into stardom. This is exactly what Finn did. It was almost like it was written for her and he just stole her lines because he stands up completely unannounced, boop, 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 walks right in front of everybody and says, okay, you guys, now that I'm the biggest celebrity in school, here's what we're going to do this week. And then I'm going to do this to bring money to all you guys. So everybody clap for me. And it was like, wow, that Rachel just rubbed right off. That was pretty cool. But at this point, you know, even his idea, the kissing booth, this is disgusting. And I think Mercedes is the one who calls it out, right? She's like, I think you're just doing this so you can kiss a lot of girls because your stardom has led you to this. Like whatever money, I think it ends up being like $300 that he raises. Okay, thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks. You know, so it was creepy to watch. I enjoyed, I guess, kind of watching him dirty Mac. You know, like he sees that Sam and Quinn are a thing and he's like, you know what I want to do? I just want to mess this up for them. You know, like I want that attention back on me because she's the only one who wouldn't kiss me. And that was it. At first, it didn't sound like he wanted her back romantically. It just seemed like I'm the biggest thing here. I could get her if I want to. Yeah, and then after they kiss and he sees the fireworks, he's like, oh, okay, this is something that should be. But initially, it was just kind of like, I'm the baddest man here, and I want what I want, and I'm going to get it by any means necessary. And so it was interesting to watch. I didn't love it from Finn, but, you know, he gets what's coming to him in the end.
Yeah, and, you know, Santana all along with all of this, you know, she's making fun of him at first, and then she is going to show up herself with this entire plan to, you know, once she figures out what's happening here, as things start to develop, you know, we'll get to all of that. But, I mean, I do have to call out the Santana scene in the hallway that I think was, like, one of the top clips when we went back through a lot of Santana clips recently in that Naya podcast, the one where she's in the hallway crying, Amon.
I just, you know, I try to be really honest with people when I feel that they suck, you know?
Yeah.
It's so good. I mean, the only time we see Britney, really, but it's great.
They really let her have it, too. Mr. Shu did not jump in because, I mean, he was also a victim of Santana George because he's addicted to meth. So they just really laid in, and Rachel really just, you know, Rachel was like, yeah, and you're going to be a hooker. Like, she could not wait to just pile on. And Santana, you know, in a moment of defeat, she walked out with her tail between her legs, which is, you know, a rare thing that we see from her. Usually she pops right on off, but I guess not that day. She wasn't she used to jumped. The whole, to the yeah, she got yeah. jumped. She didn't get used to the whole, you know, everybody jumping on her at the same time. She's a one-on-one type of bitch.
She was verbally beat up, physically beat up in this episode. Santana had a rough go of it this week. She was lonely on Valentine's Day. Puck, the guy that she would have been after at this time, out here chasing Lauren, she was not having a great time in this episode. But the kissing booth is going to be set up, and we're going to see how things start to play out here, Amon, with Quinn approaching and as Chappelle mentioned, the fireworks that show up eventually.
Yeah, so, I mean, Quinn comes up. He's like, I know what you're trying to do. You just want to kiss me. I'm not doing this with you. I love Sam, yada, 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 yada. Sam watches the entire conversation take place, and then he confronts her about it in the library, like, wait, you were this close to kissing him. What's going on? Why haven't you kissed him? Quinn's, of course, confused because she's like, okay, so are you mad about me not? Or are you mad that I almost did? Like, what is it? And Sam was like, I just feel like it's weird that you're acting weird around him. Like, if you actually were over him and wanted to be with me, then I feel like you would have just either just kissed him or, like, not have been there at all. So she's like, fine, screw it, I'll kiss him. And so she does. They see fireworks because, I mean, I guess on some level they still do care for one another. And now that she's had a little bit of taste of Finn Hudson, she wants some more and wants to meet him in the auditorium after school.
It's so crazy.
She lies to Sam saying, I forgot my purse. Bitch, she didn't have a purse. Like, and why does Sam just let that happen?
She sneaks on back over to that table and meet me in the auditorium tomorrow. Like, what?
Nasty.
Sam just let that be.
Sam is dumb, but he's smart enough to realize that Quinn is looking at Finn as like the Jay-Z to her Beyonce, right?
Like, but then dumb enough to realize she doesn't have a purse. Like
right. It's the same time he's that stupid. It's so crazy. He can read her. Like, he's dumb about everything else, but for her, he's like, no. You are used to being the queen bee. He has identified himself as the king right now because of this football win, and your eyes have not been off of him since. Like, I see you. And then in the same episode, she's like, I forgot my purse. And he's just like, okay, I'll just wait here while you go talk to your ex. Like, no, fool. This is your moment. Step in. Go over there. Do something. Sam, come on, man.
The point was he was observing, and that's why he like later is going to claim to Santana, like, I know that they weren't doing anything more. It was just a simple peck. It's like, you let her run back and you weren't there. Like,
doesn't have a purse.
You expect? She didn't have a purse.
Stupid.
But Santana's going to put together this plan, as mentioned. She's single and bitter on Valentine's Day, but you know, whatever. She'll marry an NFL player. So as she realizes the look on Quinn and Finn's faces, something is happening. She's like, I know what cheating looks like. I do it all the time. She's going to enact some revenge, as she's got this whole plan in her sexy little nurse outfit, walking down the hallway, making her way to the nurse's office, and you know, the rest is history.
Mom. I mean, did she have to like get all dragged up just for this?
She's looking for any chance to be hot. Santana's bored. She's lonely on Valentine's Day. What else does she have going on?
Sure, yeah, she got don't leave her with pool. Idle hands, because it's not good for anybody.
She did slutty nurse cosplay, and then she goes and get. Wait, can we just stop down on the fact that this child's plan is to go give people mono, like intentionally mono people. Like,
oh, it's to weaponize. It's bioterror. It's literally bioterrorism. Like, she's a bioterrorist.
Right. And to do this with a man who has a kissing booth. What if Finn just randomly kissed someone else? Just, hey, I paid $2. Can I get a kiss in the mouth? Finn's not turning that down. You could have essentially gave half the school mono.
Mm-hmm.
She's crazy. She's crazy.
I hate to go there, but like, is this how COVID started?
With a kissing booth? I mean, I would not be surprised.
Wouldn't be surprised.
And like some Santana Lopez out there getting revenge on she's mad at.
Have you guys read all those articles about how they're saying like after COVID is over, this like we're gonna enter our own version of the Roaring Twenties, and it's just gonna be a drug and sex infused decade once everything opens back up. I'm like, so y'all trying to come out of quarantine only to have to go right back in after the next pandemic arises after y'all all fuck each other. Like, we're just not going to learn shit.
You got to be vaccinated and then you'll be,
mine's right. A new strain of something.
Something else is going to arise. Something else. It's going to be one of them New York nightclubs, New York night sex clubs out of there. You know, the next thing you know, it's like some strange new disease is circulating in the Bronx.
Yeah. Where it's are just, the like what was that, Matt?
No, go ahead.
No, I was gonna ask, where's the normal teachers in the school who have to walk down the hall? You know, they work here every day, they have a normal family, a normal life, and they have to walk down the hall and hear like Finn and Quinn in the hallway, like, meet me in the auditorium, like, I got a kissing booth. Like, at some point, come on, man. I can't work here anymore. These kids are disgusting.
The 2 minutes later, supervision is severely lacking in this episode. Kissing booths in the middle of the hallway. You got the girls walking around in candy striper outfits. Like, it's just not, it's not a good look.
It's got to be annoying, too, because because you're a professional. You are living your normal life, and you have to deal with 15-year-olds yelling stuff like, okay, I'm still in love with you. I'm still in love with you, and I'm not over it. Are you happy? Like, go to class.
But there were some teachers that lived for the drama, so I imagine that a lot of them are sticking their heads out of their classrooms to listen in. Like, genuinely, there were teachers, I remember, like, walking down the hall at school, and you would see teachers just standing in their doorway, and, you know, there would be, like, lockers, like, right in front of them, so whatever was going on there, they would have, like, an eye on it, like, they were absolutely just standing there absorbing in all of the drama, the gossip, and whatnot, as people entered their classroom to, you know, like, they were standing there to greet everybody on their way in, but they were getting all of the tea.
Mm-hmm. I have been a teacher, so I know. I just think there's a lot. So it's, you have to deal with a range of these like really incendiary emotional people in this puberty age that they're in. And so every day it's something. There's no day where you don't come to work and there's not a child having a meltdown. So it just gets to be a lot. Now, I will tell you, I am A1. Oh, wait, we're in our planning period. Come on in. Tell me about your day because you know it's about to get good. Such and such is inviting who to prom? Oh, they're doing a prom proposal. Oh, they're going to record it. Ooh, does she know he's going to say no? Ooh, like, well, tell them to come see us. And then they come in, tell us. So, you know, it breaks up the monotony a little bit, but there's a lot going on in McKinley. It's not normal. This ain't normal, okay? This kissing booth, that ain't normal.
Yeah, you know what is normal, though, to transition into the next scene worth talking about? Santana's going to, you know, end up planting the kiss on Finn, you know, making him now sick. So when Quinn and Finn go to the auditorium, that is a normal thing for me of just the the fact that the auditorium was empty. The auditorium was always empty. There was like never anybody in it unless it was like, you know, like right before the play or something like that. And people were doing last minute stuff. Or if there was obviously like some kind of assembly. So like the fact that these kids always walk in and out of the auditorium as they please makes total sense to me. I don't know if that relates to like you, especially Amon, for, you know, you were around that area of your school.
Yeah, no, I mean, the auditorium is definitely never really occupied unless it's occupied by the rest of the school body, the student body rather. So, yeah. Yeah, I mean,
You could just walk in and out. There was no like security guard. It was just going in.
No, it was usually always dark in there too. Look, people were like, the musical crowd at my school, the musical theater crowd at my school, I mean, it was like the band geeks. Like, people were fucking. Like, it was just... people were nasty. Okay, so this definitely rings true.
Yeah, so the two of them are going to meet up in there. Finn goes in for the kiss very quickly, and Quinn's like, you know, this will make me a cheater, right? Like, the exact thing that hurt you about what Rachel did to you, like, that's exactly what's about to happen here. And then they both just spend the next, you know, 5 minutes trying to convince themselves that what they're doing is okay. Like, is it possible to love two people at once? Of course it is. Kiss me. It's like, oh, shut the fuck up. They are both so awful here in this episode. I can't decide which one's worse. You know, I don't know. It's a mess.
I'm a Quinn stan. Yeah, we talked about this last time. I'm a big
Quinn. Yeah, I mean, who isn't? But like,
yeah, I think it's really bad too because she kind of shows up late, and he's like, "Well, where have you been?" She's like, "Oh, I was at church." He's like, "Oh, why were you at church? I was trying to figure out how to not come here." It's like, well, fail, because here you are.
She lied. She didn't go to no damn church. She be to tell me that she left school, went to church, then came back. No. She probably sat in the parking lot in the car trying to figure out what she wanted to do and then walked in there.
She was at church.
She didn't go to no damn church.
Yeah. They do, of course, you know, again, really just try to justify their actions here and making themselves feel better about how things went, which is going to make it even funnier when later on we get back to the choir room and, you know, Finn's already talking about, you know, he raised his $300, so he feels great about things, but he doesn't feel great physically as he is not feeling well. Quinn is not feeling well, and Santana's going to call them out in front of everybody. Sounds like mono, a disease spread by kissing, you know, with tongue. She's just so proud of herself here in that moment. Sam, of course, insisting, no, that can't be possible. I watched them kiss. That's not what happened. Stupid. It's like, Sam, you sweet, sweet boy.
Dumb.
So
stupid.
I've cheated twice in my life now. You know, the first time I got pregnant, the second time I got mono. Maybe the universe is trying to tell me something.
Maybe.
Every time you cheat, you get an STD. That's wild. That's wild.
Pregnancy is an STD? That's funny.
It's the one I'm the most afraid of.
The worst kind of STD is pregnancy. A parasite grows inside of me? Are you kidding?
Possibly destroys your body, and then when it's out, it takes your money for the next 20 to 30 to 40 to 50 years, depending on how long you're around for it. I would stop cheating forever if this happened to me. It's just a lesson Quinn had to learn.
They should definitely paint pregnancy as an STD because teen pregnancy would go down.
It sounds like, look, I think people just don't understand what women go through when they get pregnant. Their whole body changes.
They go Everything through about some them changes. Shit. Women yeah, go through hell. Like, it's not.
Same.
For 9 months, like, I can't.
This is Glee. You gotta talk about pregnancy at least once an episode. Gosh.
True.
And men literally do nothing. Like, that's insane to me. That is such a raw deal. Like, they have to go through the whole thing every month. They go on they're on their period, and then lo and behold, you want to have a child, and you do all of the work. It's insane. Mm-hmm. It's insane.
Okay, well, Quinn's already been through it, so, you know, what's a little mono here, right? So she and Finn are talking about, you know, nothing can happen between us. I've got to figure out what's going on with me and Sam, and you have to figure out what's happening with you and Rachel. So, you know, that's the deal here. And the, you know, grand finale, of course, is going to be as Quinn goes home. It's like hours later. You know, her mom picked her up, but I guess Carol's off, I don't know, maybe finding another long guy. No, she's married at this point. Sorry, just kidding. Sorry, Bert. But yeah, so she is taking care of Finn, waiting for Finn to get picked up from school. And the two of them are going to discuss, you know, pretty much just all of Rachel's insecurities here, Chappelle.
Yeah. Whew. The Rachel thing is hard, right? Because Rachel rightfully has insecurities. But I think, you know, Finn does the thing where he breaks up with her, but kind of makes it sound like it was for her own good. And I think honestly, that's the move, right? For someone like Rachel, you have to tell her, like, hey, you know, I'm not that great for you. You're bigger than me. You are the star of this show. I am a supporting character. You're going to look back and I'm just going to be a memory, which of course we know is not what happens. But I think that's how you have, that's what you have to do if you're in Finn's position and you're not ready to kind of dive into something like that with someone as intense as Rachel. You have to let her know, like, hey, this is for your better, you know, for your betterment. And I think Rachel ended up coming around to that as well when she asked him if, you know, if he saw fireworks when they kissed, and whew, the awkward silence that followed that. I don't know. I always felt like maybe they had to have seen fireworks at some point, right? This is a whirlwind romance that's been going on since season one. This is what, season three?
Have you ever felt fireworks or seen fireworks upon kissing someone or just upon hanging out with somebody?
What do you think, literally. We live in a cartoon?
Yeah.
Oh my God. That's why I said felt, not seen. Obviously, it was a visual representation of the feeling.
Yeah. It's for me, it's one of those kind of, I guess, kind of like one of those puck things, right? If I'm around you long enough or if you do something that catches my like attention, then yeah, that's the moment. The kissing doesn't really matter. Like, that's eventually, I assume that's just gonna, there's going to be something that we deal with if we go to, you know, to that level. But it's the moment. Yeah, it's the moment when I'm around you and I'm like, oh, damn, I don't want to not be around you anymore, you know? Or at least, you know, like, don't go. In my head, I would never say this out loud. Oh, my God, like a sucker. But in the moment, you're just kind of like, oh, shit, you're going to, oh, I can't let you go anywhere. Yep. And in my head, that's kind of the moment of the fireworks is like, oh, I need to be around you. I don't know how I can get you. You need to like me. I need to like you. We need to like each other. But please don't go. And I think that's my fireworks moment. But for me, watching, you know, Finn say that he never had that moment with Rachel, it just kind of seems a little disingenuous.
You know, Chappelle saw fireworks for sure the first time he got on a podcast on RHAP, and everybody saw them back, and that's how we got to where we are today.
If you say so.
Yeah, I don't know if he was being disingenuous there. I just think that it was, well, first of all, it was just wordplay so that they could cram firework in there, which really made no fucking sense. But anyway,
at all.
I think that him, like, being with Rachel was just different for him. You know what I mean? I think it's kind of like with Puck and Lauren, right? Like, Puck is always going to be attracted to conventionally attractive people because they're conventionally attractive, right? But then there was something else going on with Lauren that I don't think that Puck would describe as fireworks, but something enjoyable. And I think it's the same thing with Finn. Like, Quinn is familiar, right? Like, they were already dating before. He thought that he was going to have a baby with her at some point. Like, there's a great level of familiarity there that once, like, I think that Finn's relationship with Rachel was born out of a lot of uncomfortableness, right? Like, Rachel was extremely overbearing from jump, like, and he wasn't really sure what was going on between the two of them. And then eventually they actually found something about each other that they liked. And I don't think I would describe that relationship as fireworks either, because I don't think it was like that from jump. I think Rachel was crazy, and then he kind of fell in love with the crazy. So. No,
the firework thing is just bullshit, like you said, to incorporate the song into the show, which Rachel's going to end up getting up there singing Firework, get some Katy Perry pop jams going here for the audience at the time to go make their downloads on iTunes and whatnot. So, yeah, it leads her all throughout the hallway with sparklers behind her. It's so corny.
I mean, yes, there's that as well. But I also don't think, I mean, I think that fireworks is just like an easy word to describe the feeling of like what Chappelle was talking about before. So I think that element still exists when it comes to Quinn versus Rachel. But yeah, I think,
yeah,
by and large, it was also because Katy Perry, top 40, yeah.
Exactly. So yeah, she's gonna take her lonely single butt over to Breadsticks along with Mercedes, and then Tina and Mike are gonna join them as well, as Kurt has gathered everybody for a Lonely Hearts Club performance. He says, as they're gonna, he's got his nice red mic in front of him. I was like, what are you, like Gaga? You get to order personalized mics out here. To all the singles out there, this is our year, as they do some silly love songs and close out the episode with the Warblers and the New Directions all mixing. Obviously, no Finn and Quinn, who are home dealing with their mono. But we have, everybody here, even the single people, Sam, Santana, looking at each other with that thing. I just love it. I probably pointed this out last time, but Blaine like has a line where he sings during the song, sometimes love doesn't come at all. And he like looks directly at Santana and she's like, what the fuck? Like, why are you looking at me?
Yeah.
And he's like, oops, sorry. Didn't mean to look at you for that one.
He did.
He was reading her.
He did.
He was that was his coaching to Santana. He's like, look, I helped Kurt, with his shit. Now it's time for me to help you with yours. I know you're struggling, honey. Let it out.
It was sometimes it doesn't come at all.
It was right after Kurt said, singles, this is our year. And then Blaine walks over and is like, not for you.
and none for Santana.
Yeah, Brittany's at the next table, with Artie, by her side, and Sam's back there. It's like, Santana, what's going on? You're all by yourself.
Trot him out. It's coming.
She's fine. She's going to marry an NFL player. That's how we know Santana's story ends. And Chappelle, this was the 200th Glee performance, Silly Love Songs. Do you know that?
No, I didn't know that. They went out with a bang. This is a really, really, really good performance, I think. The Warblers have a flair for the dramatic, like many of these people do on this show, where they're like, you look up and they're doing like flips and like all kinds of craziness in the middle of the gap. But this was a little bit more like reserved. They were singing at, a restaurant for a reason, and they kind of kept it confined to like, we interact with the crowd a little bit, but ultimately we still get back on stage and sing like normal people. So I liked it a lot. The vocally, it sounded great. It's a great song. It's a great occasion to sing the song. And it wasn't too over the top, which is something that kind of bothers me about some of the Glee performances sometimes. So I give it a 10 out of 10.
Yep, it's a lot of fun, and it's one of my favorite Warbler songs as well. Two of my favorite Warbler songs in the same episode. That's fun for me. But let's swing back around also. We didn't touch on our, I don't know if it's a D plot or an E plot at this point, if that's even a thing. We had some stuff with Mike and Tina, Artie and Brittany. They did PYT, Artie and Mike, and they sang to their girls there. And then we got, of course, the performance later from Tina singing My Funny Valentine, if you can even call it, a performance, as she breaks down into tears. Chappelle, the small things that we had with them, I think were worthwhile here to just add some extra stuff into the mix.
Oh yeah, Tina singing My Funny Valentine is hilarious. She can't get through the song because she's so overcome with love that she just has to cry and shout her praises for Mike Chang. Like, I love you, Mike Chang. I love you, Mike Chang. Like, I love that moment. The only thing I don't like about it is that you kind of wish that they let Tina sing. I think I like beat this drum last time. I like when Tina sings for real. And so the fact that she couldn't make it through this song without breaking down into tears, for comedic effect, it was cool, but it'd be nice to have a Tina solo where she makes it through the song. It'd be nice. So I appreciated that, the comedy of that. What I didn't love about the D plot is, where is Mercedes? She gets kind of like pushed to the side almost. She had barely more lines than Mr. Schuster this episode, who's almost not in it at all, which is great, which is probably why I ranked the season so high in my mind. But Mercedes gets the, like, I am single and I'm okay with it. And you guys, we really shouldn't just be focusing our entire life on the love, our love interest right now. We have our whole life ahead of us. And that's a very wise sentiment, but I would have liked to see at least, like I said, a prospect for her or something, you know, giving us some insight into where Mercedes lands on this whole love thing, you know, aside from the just, you know, there's time for it. I would have liked to, sure. A Mercedes song would have been nice. Almost everybody else got to perform something, and Mercedes kind of hops in at the end for like a line of firework. So, I don't know. It wasn't my favorite from her. I wish they had given her more.
Story of our lives. We just did a 3-part Mercedes Jones, you know, character analysis where pretty much every corner was wish that there was more, wish that there was more, wish that there was more, except for, you know, the one part of season 5 where you do get more, but doesn't fully make up for the rest of it there. But Amon, anything from you on this rewatch of PYT or My Funny Valentine?
Tina needs therapy and... PYT is lots of fun. I always chuckle at Brittany wearing her boots on the wrong feet.
I didn't even notice that. What? Yeah, she's there.
Tenderoni! Like, why the fuck does Ben say that?
Why did he yell that out?
I mean, it's one of the lyrics in PYT, but it just feels so weird.
Is it one of the lyrics in PYT?
Yeah, it's, I forget where it is in the song. It's just tenderoni, it got to be
okay. Like, tenderoni. Oh, yeah. Like, all right.
Yeah, I don't think that that was Finn. I think that was Corey Monteith.
I also feel like we get a hint from, because when they finish doing PYT, Tina says, "I'm so in love, I may start crying." And that's like a hidden hint that what's about to come.
Yeah, foreshadow.
Her.
A breakdown is imminent.
So that's about all I have for this episode before we get into, you know, the rest of the business here at the end. Chappelle, any closing thoughts from you on all this? Or do you want to, maybe we should just tie this into our slushy ratings for the episode. Do you want to start working on that for yourself out of, you know, 0 to 5, that usual scale? How many slushies would you throw at this one, if any?
I'm not throwing any slushies at this episode. Like I said, it had a lot of the things that I like to see with lack of Schuster. That's number one. But also you get some growth from Puck and you get some Zycy's coverage, which is nice because we know she doesn't get a ton of content. You get some good songs. I didn't love PYT as a performance. I do think it's great to the idea that you could walk past the Glee Club at any given time and Mike Chang's on the floor like doing the moon, like, you know, like doing the moonwalk or something. Like, I just feel like at any given time you're minding your own business and he's in there dancing full out in like a whole ass performance just like on a Tuesday afternoon. So I appreciate that. As you said earlier, Silly Love Songs is a great song. When I Get You Alone is a great song as well. Great performance. It's super awkward to watch in the moment, but it's super great. Like, musically, I have no slushies to throw at this. So that's where I stand.
All right. Amon, we both gave it 0 slushies the first time through. Do you feel like you are sticking to that, or anything around this rewatch make you feel differently?
I'm sticking to it, baby. I enjoy this episode. I enjoy all the character moments in this episode. I like almost all the music in this episode. And yeah, sticking with it. Sticking to my guns. Sticking to my Cupid arrows.
All right. Well, I don't want to be the bad guy here, so I don't think I'm going to. But I did spend some of the episode considering if I was, you know, too nice about it the first time. Not that I don't love it, but like I'm trying to like zero in on this 0 slushy scale and make sure that it is genuinely like one of my top tier favorite episodes. And I do enjoy it, a lot of it. I love the way that they like have a couple different plots going and connect like Santana in the middle of them for like just some good Santana content. The Kurt and Blaine stuff is all good. I love pretty much every performance. I'll talk about, you know, my least favorite when we do that, but I did feel myself feeling like, okay, maybe this is a half a slushy episode. I don't know if it's that like perfect thing for me. But I don't think I feel strongly enough about it to put that there. It's one of those that I'm like, maybe if there was like a A quarter slushie. That's not a thing. But I'll stick with the zero slushies. I don't want to stray from what everybody else is doing here, especially, like I said, don't feel that strongly about doing so. But, you know, if I ever go through and rank all of the zero slushie episodes, maybe this one will be more towards the bottom. Who's to say? But that's where I am feeling with the episode as a whole. But let's also pick out our worst songs from the episode, our least favorite. And Chappelle, I will spin back around to start with you again. Of these songs, Amon, do you have the list pulled up or should we just go off memory?
Fat Bottom Girls, Puck, PYT, Artie, When I Get You Alone, Blaine and the Warblers, My Funny Valentine, Tina, Firework, Rachel, Silly Love Song, Blaine and the Warblers.
So by our criteria, I don't believe My Funny Valentine counts. It was not released as a song. So I don't think that that is eligible for us to pick as our least favorite, if that was somebody's consideration here, for the record. So Chappelle.
Yeah, I was never going to pick My Funny Valentine as the worst song on here. I like listening to Tina, but also it was very funny. Funny moment, funny Valentine, all that good stuff. Woo, this is going to be tough because while I don't love PYT, I didn't love Firework. And here's why. It's something about Rachel doing standard Rachel on the stage, pacing back and forth, crying. It's been done so many times. And I think this was one of the least memorable times that it's been done. Like, if she's going to do this, give me Taking Chances or something, you know? She just did the Rachelism. Like, they could have dubbed any song on top of her on stage and it would have worked because that's just what she does. She gets on stage, she cries, she smiles, she cries some more, she backs up, she runs forward, she stomps her foot a little bit. Like, it was just right on par for all of the, like, Rachel show-stopping moments, and it just kind of falls flat for me because it's not as good as the other ones. Mm-hmm. So that's why it's my least favorite one. And I don't know if how popular opinion that is, but it just was kind of blah for me.
No, I'm fully on board. I'll just piggyback off of you. That's also my least favorite pick of this episode. I think all of the other ones are a lot of fun. PYT, I'm probably on the exact same page as like everything you just said of PYT. I think it's definitely good, but like, I don't know. It's not my favorite of this episode. The first time through, my favorite from this was, I'm pretty sure, Fat Bottom Girls, Don't Judge Me. But also Silly Love Songs, add that. If I was, going back in time, I would make that my number one. So ultimately, Firework ends up here at the bottom of my list. Amon, what's yours?
3 for 3, bitch. It's a no. Yay! From me. And not going to Hollywood. No. Like, it's just not. No. Like, what? No. They just shoehorn like, that like shit Chappelle in here. Said,
she's got good songs. It's just, this doesn't have to be in the Rachel Berry top tier. You know?
No. It's not. I feel like I don't enjoy anybody singing this song other than Katy Perry, to be honest.
I'm with you. Didn't she just do it? She did this.
Yeah,
at the inauguration,
she did.
Right?
At the inauguration, yeah.
Cool. I forgot.
She closed out the ceremony. It was great. I didn't just anticipate this song becoming such a cultural, like, statement and icon when it first, blasted onto the scene in 2010. But since then, she has used that song very, very well at her concerts, now at the inauguration, at her Super Bowl performance. Like, that was the closing song as well. Like, Firework really is that girl in a big stadium. It really is.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of occasions for fireworks to be used. So, yeah. What a genius, Katy Perry. And our shoe stars that we give out, of course, as we're rewatching some of these episodes, to the worst person in the episode. And it does, to me, feel like there are, off the top of my head, 3 candidates that could potentially be this. Honestly, I could even get to 4 candidates that I can think of very easily. But Chappelle, who comes to mind to you, the worst person of the episode?
Oh, no, I want to hear your candidates first now. That sounds interesting. What you got?
I mean, pretty quick and easy. Finn and Quinn, for obvious reasons. Santana, for obvious reasons of, spreading mono in a pretty wild way. And also Puck for, as much as he's trying, you can also, I think, make a case for him and the way that he, approaches everything with Lauren not being a whole lot of fun. So those would be my 4 picks. But, feel free to go anywhere you want.
Yeah, I think so. Initially, I think my answer was Finn, because he's dirty macking so hard. Like, everything he does in this episode is malicious. He does not do anything good at all. He creates this kissing booth so that he can kiss like the girl that his ex that's dating someone else. You know, so it, that just bothers me a little bit, you know, for Finn, who generally is not doing anything to harm anybody. And this is kind of like he was kind of smelling himself a little bit. So I think he was my initial person. But then through talking with y'all about it, Jeremiah, how old are you again? Because look, the way he shuffled off, like, Blaine, you're underage. And he like closes his trench coat and then runs off into the distance. Sir, you knew he was underage when you went to coffee with him twice. What's really going on here? So I think it's Finn, but I have an asterisk by Jeremiah. It's a little star, not a big one, but a little one.
So, okay, so it's ultimately going to Finn. That would be really funny if I was writing down Jeremiah's name, and I was kind of rooting for it for a half a second there. That's probably more of an Amon move, so maybe he'll steal it from you to, you know, random character getting on the board in one way or another. Jeremiah, what a guy. Glad we, you know, had him here, and he is going to be referenced again in season 6 when Blaine and Kurt are like, remember, like, that time that, you know, I sang to that guy at the Gap? What was his name? Blaine's like, oh, I totally don't remember his name. It's like, you know his name. You knew his name was Jeremiah.
He still goes by the Gap every now and then.
I was going to give mine to Jeremiah's boss for firing
him. No, give it to the Gap.
Yeah, give it to the Gap. To just the Gap in general. I don't know. I mean, I guess I think Quinn is probably an easy one. I think the fact that she does this and she knows that she's being wrong by doing this, like, and she, I mean, she came up to Finn being like, I know why you're doing this. You just told me to kiss you. And then she seemed like she was about to, like, you know, stick to her resolve and not give in. And then when Sam comes up and is like, why didn't you kiss him? It's like, okay, yeah, sure, Sam can have some of the blame here because you definitely did just push your girlfriend to go make out with her ex. That's not a good idea. But you still ended up going back to him and cheating. Like, it's just like, why would you do this? You already did this to him before, and now you're doing it with him. It's just, what are you doing, Quinn? What are you doing? So, yeah, definitely Quinn for me. And not to say that Finn doesn't have equal blame, because he definitely does. I don't want to make people think that I'm, you know, being misogynistic by not choosing Finn. But I just feel like because of the fact that she was like, I know what I'm doing is wrong. I know, like, she's smarter than Finn is. So it's like, what are you doing?
Like, she is. You're right.
Yeah, there's definitely, I think, a case for both of them, and I'm ultimately going to lean with Finn on mine. Yeah, so lucky you, Santana. You spread mono around the school and get away without any repercussions from us. that's quite an accomplishment. But no, Finn is going to get mine. I think it's just from, like, start to finish in this episode, it is a bad look for Finn Hudson. Setting up the kissing booth, feeling like he's all that, going out of his way to, like, try to get the kiss with Finn, even though, like, Sam and him were friends for a bit, and, like, obviously, like, he was jealous of him for this and that, whatever, but, like, going out of his way to break up this relationship by making sure that Quinn would kiss him, and, you know, when she's like, you know that I might be cheating on Sam, not might be, you know that I would be cheating on Sam by doing this, exactly what hurt you, and he's like, yeah, but, like, just let's kiss anyway, like, let's just, whatever, it's fine. So just really just the awful look for Finn here in this episode. Nobody cared enough to, I mean, sure, there was a bunch of girls outside the line to kiss him, but, like, shut up, loser. So Finn gets my shoe star, and that's what I'm sticking with.
Yeah,
but Finn will have a lot of better episodes, so it's fine.
Yeah, and Santana being a bioterrorist, we're not overlooking that. It's just that she did bring some very, very funny moments to the episode, like the fight and even just the trash talk. She said that Quinn's baby should have been a lizard, or she thought, she wasn't sure that it was going to be half lizard or something like that. And, you know, like, that stuff is mean, but it's right up her alley. So she had a lot of funny moments, but also she was the foil to, I think, to who the real villain here was, and it was Finn. So I agree. She's still horrible, though.
Yeah, I'm glad Quinn is also on the board, because she's, you know, also at fault here. So Finn and Quinn both getting some stars here sounds good to me. But that's all I think we probably have here for this episode. Of course, next up is going to be us talking about season 3, episode 13, I think it is, Heart. So we'll get that out to you guys probably within a week when you're hearing this, if you're hearing this when you listen to it. Chappelle, thank you for joining us for this. Anything else going on in your world? I'm sure there is.
No, not right now. I think I'm just chilling right now. I'm very excited to come and talk to y'all for 3 episodes. This was a blast. So I'm ready for the next one. But nope, I'm chilling. You know where to find me.
We know where to find you, and I'll plug his Twitter since he probably doesn't want people to follow him anyway. You know, follow at your own risk at Chappelle Show on Twitter, and you know, maybe you'll get lucky with a DM or two in regards to Valentine's Day plans.
No, listen, don't follow. Well, you can follow me on Twitter, but just log off after like 11 o'clock Eastern.
Or log on if you were awake that time of day, because you'll be entertained all night long.
Whatever.
Aman, where can everybody find us?
You can follow us on Twitter and on TikTok at Quiet Room Pod. Follow us individually. I'm at Aman Adwin. Matt is at Matt Ligori. Make sure that you are leaving us star ratings and reviews wherever you get your podcasts. We'll read them aloud on the show. Do we have anything, Matt?
We don't, but if anybody wants to give us a Valentine's Day gift in the form of a review or even, like, you know, a PayPal donation, because we haven't gotten one of those in like 3 months. But no shade, just, you know, trying to pay the bills over here. Equipment breaking, you know, not trying to guilt anybody, but, you know, happy Valentine's Day. In any form that you want to support us with the reviews or the donations, always appreciated. Otherwise, we'll see you guys next week.
All right. And so next time, guys, we will see you later.